On Racing HQ, time now for Chinwag with Cozzy.
It's 28 to 11, and I'm speaking with an absolute legend this morning, a gentleman who was inducted into Australia's Thoroughbred Hall of Fame in 2016. Wonderful career that began more than 70 years ago when he started working as a stable boy for Maurice McCartan at Randwick. And I speak of the legend himself, Neville Begg. Morning, Neville.
Good morning, Sean.
I was talking with Ron Quinton earlier on. He's at Lundberg Inn, and I mentioned that he probably learned a lot from you over the years with the fillies, and he made a good point. He said, well, Neville didn't have many male horses in the stable because a lot of them were from breeders, so you had a lot of fillies to train, didn't you?
Sean, the majority of my stable was fillies. I was fortunate enough to have a few good colts, so I was lucky enough I won the AJC Derby with Divide and Rule. And I bred a little horse that was a good little horse called Hit It Benny. He won the Doombin 10,000 and the Galaxy. And I had another very good horse called Dalmatia, who was a top class galloper.
Neville, I mentioned that you kicked off, I think you were only 14, when you went to an absolute amazing trainer, Maurice McCartan.
Yes, so I was born in Newcastle, and I always wanted to be a jockey, but I outgrew that pretty quickly. I went to Mr. McCartan's in actually at the end of 1944, and I started with him just over the Christmas period, 1945, and I turned 15 in the January, and I stayed with him for 22 years.
Gee. Now, in that period, there were some absolute champions went through the stable. There's one horse I want to mention, and you had a lot to do with this bloke. He was from the first crop of the great stallion Star Kingdom, and I'm talking about Todman.
Yes, Todman was a wonderful horse. He was probably, I suppose, he and Vane are the two benchmark sprinters that I've always thought of, and I actually broke him in as a yearling. He won the first slipper, as you know, and won by a big space. He eventually went on and won. He won the Canterbury Guineas and a number of other races, but then he was off the racing for 2 years through a hind leg injury, and when he came back, he had three starts. He won the three of them. Carried 9.5 and broke the Canterbury track record. Went to Melbourne, won a Lightning Stakes, won the Futurity Stakes. Mr. Wootton then retired into stud.
Interesting parallel, Neville, when you look at Todman. He won the Golden Slipper by 8 lengths after winning his first start by 10. He won the Champagne by 6. He beat Tulloch. Now, Tulloch was off the scene for a couple of years later on in his life as well before coming back successfully.
That's right. They had sort of parallel problems in their lives. But Tulloch had beaten him in the size produced on Saturday. And in those days, the Champagne was run over 1,200 metres on the Wednesday. And they both backed up again. And, of course, then Todman then won very easily.
The interesting thing is he was such a brilliant sprinter, Todman. As I said, he won his first start by 10. But he also went on to win the Canterbury Guineas by 8.
That's right. Well, he's very versatile horse, you know. I'm not really sure how far he would have run because he's never tried over a journey, but at sprinting, there was very few his equal.
Neville, that must have been a fascinating time. You said you broke in Todman's Star Kingdom when he came out. He was sort of a short couple, chunky horse. A lot of people wondered, you know, how would he go? He was like the Dane Hill, the Sir Tristram. He was just brilliant, wasn't he?
Yes, Sean, yes. Actually, we had him in the stable when he arrived. In those days, the horses had to come around the Cape Good Hope and 6 weeks on the boat. And Mr. Wootton always put his horses into training. And I rode Star Kingdom slow track work. Gee. And put them into slow work before they went all to the stud.
What was his race record like, Neville, Star Kingdom, before he came out?
Oh, look, he had a very good record. He'd won a couple, and then he met a top-class horse from Avenant. And Avenant, they finished wide apart, but a lot of people said that Star Kingdom had won, but I think it was a very close finish. Avenant got the result. He came back as a three-year-old Star Kingdom, probably won a couple of minor races, and then he was considered not good enough to go on with, and so he was sent to Australia.
he was the cornerstone of most pedigrees for many, many years to come, wasn't he?
Oh, he was an outstanding stallion. He stood at Barrymore Stud, of course, and he was very, very well handled by Mr. A.O. Ellison and Mr. Wooten. He never served more than about 45 mares in the season those days. They were limited to 45, and he had a very good record. He started off as Breeders' Plate winner and the Jim Crack Stakes winner in his first crop, so he did extremely well.
Neville, while you were there at the Maurice McCartan Stable, there was some pretty handy horses went through. A Melbourne Cup winner, Delta. Tell us about him.
Well, we had Delta was a very good three-year-old. He was beaten in the AJC Derby, which was then run in the spring in Sydney. He went to Melbourne and won the Cox Plate as a three-year-old, won the VRC Derby, and then they ran him in the Melbourne Cup as a three-year-old, in which he ran fifth. He come back and he won a lot of weight for age races. In 1951, he won the Metropolitan Handicap with 9 stone 5, and then he still had 9 stone 5 in the Melbourne Cup, and he won that also.
Now, another very handy horse, Cox Plate winner, No Home. He was a brilliant galloper.
Oh, No Home was a great horse. We probably never ever saw the best of him, really, because he won the Epsom Bursary as a two-year-old. He won 2 or 3 early races, and as a three-year-old, he ran in the Epsom, which is pretty well unheard of these days. But he led all the way and won the Epsom. Surprisingly, he was beaten in the Caulfield Guineas, and then he won a Cox Plate.
Well, I'm going to mention another mare. She was an absolute freak and a stunning-looking mare too, Winona Girl. What a beautiful chestnut.
Oh, she's a Marilyn Monroe, really. Of course, a beautiful filly. Silver mane and tail, few white legs and big white blaze. And she was an outstanding filly. But when we got her as a yearling, she was the quietest filly in the stable. The kids used to ride her, and because she was the easiest one to ride, and one day Neville saw her. Got on, they give her one smack around the tail, and next thing she won the Jim Crack the following week, and away she went.
She went on to throw another beautiful filly who was another Marilyn Monroe. That was Special Girl, her daughter.
Oh, yes, yeah, she was a brilliant filly. She very delicate filly. She won about 2 or 3 races by huge margins. George Moore used to ride her for me, and she won very, very easily in a 2 or 3. You said huge long odds, 20-1 on, that sort of thing. And then she started one of the favourite in the slipper. But Bain won that. He was an outstanding horse, and she ran unpaced in it, but chipped her knees at that stage after that race. And then she raced again afterwards and won after. It was never what we thought she was early, you know.
Well, the interesting thing was Special Girl, and it's such a close-knit community, was by Todman.
That's correct. When only girl went to Todman, Mr. Longworth sent her to Todman, and she had a couple of foals by him, but Special Girl was by far the best.
Neville, I'm going to mention another great gallop, because you were associated with so many before you went out on your own. Champagne Stakes winner and a subsequent great gallop, Farnworth. He very tough horse.
Oh, Farnworth's a good sprinter. He was three-quarter brother to the Winona Girl. Yeah. Very close in the family. He used to have a mare called Karras, who was a very good race mare. And Wilkes emerged then as one of the leading stallions. And Farnworth was a lovely horse. We had 2 horses in the stable, both by Wilkes. And they run in the same ownership. Mr. Longworth, and they dead heated in a race that ran, one of the top class races at Randwick, you know.
Now, I mentioned you were 14 when you went to Maurice McCartan's. The Begg family prior to that, was your family involved in racing or horses? How did your interest come about?
Yes, my grandfather was a trainer in Newcastle. He trained a good filly called Tibby, who the race in Newcastle was named after now, the Tibby Stakes.
The Tibby Stakes, yeah.
Yeah, so my grandfather trained Tibby. My mother's 2 brothers were jockeys. One jockey, Eric Reynolds, He rode in India for a long time and was very successful there. And he was leading jockey in the Newcastle district. Yeah, and he rode four winners a day, retired.
Goodness me. Well, there was no hope for you, was there? You were going to be in racing.
we had stables in the backyard, and I was always involved, you know.
Yeah, there's no way knowing you were going to escape the noose. You were gone.
That's right.
Neville, you were 36 when you took up training at Randwick. That was in 1967. How did that come about that you decided to finally go out on your own?
Well, things were different. I'd just recently been married, and I had to make a decision whether I just stayed as a stable hand or tried to better myself. So I decided to put in an application for a license, and I was granted it immediately. To my surprise, within a week, I'd been granted a license. Okay. And I started off with four horses that had been promised to me if I did get a license. And I rented some box stall Cecil Rolls, just trained around the corner from where we were. And then I was down at the ADC one day, and I spoke to Mr. Derek Glasgow. And I said to him, was there ever any possibility of getting stables on the course? He said, he's very abrupt. And he said, you put in an application? I said, no, sir. He said, do it today. So I put in an application straight away. I went home and wrote it out and put it in that day. And I was granted stables on the course.
Everything happened pretty quickly when you did things, didn't it?
It did, yes.
Now, you were there training at Randwick at a time when Tommy Smith had hit his peak. He was the champion trainer. You ran second to him nine times.
Yes, I was following Tommy all the way, you know. he always had quite a larger stable than I did, but we were lucky enough to win quite a few races and keep within shouting distance of him.
With the support of the studs, and as Ron Quinton mentioned, you know, you had a lot of fillies and mares in the studs. How did that association with all those studs come about? Because they must have really trusted you, because they'd want results with those fillies for their breeding future.
Well, I was fortunate enough when I first started off, I was supported by Mr. Ellison from Barrymore Stud. He was very, very kind to me and gave me some fillies to train, and I had a bit of success with them. And then things followed on. Mr. Moses, who was a part owner of Star Kingdom, with Mr. Whitman, Mr. Ellison, he gave me some fillies, and then I was lucky enough to train a few fillies, of course, for Mr. Bill Longworth. So, you know, it gradually built up, and then I began to train for the Foyster family. They had quite a lot of horses, and the best horse I had for them, I think, was a horse called Planet Kingdom, who was outstanding, the racehorse. You know, Ronnie rated him one of the best horses he'd ridden.
Gee. Hey, Planet Kingdom, he was a big, strong horse, wasn't he?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't very big at all. He was a little nuggety type Star Kingdom again. And he won from 900 metres at Rose Hill. He ran second in the AJC Derby at a mile and a half. And, you know, he eventually won the Craven Plate. He beat the Epsom winner in that horse called Brogus Tip.
The reason I thought he was big, he fought out a great finish one day in Brisbane, didn't he, with Mode?
He did.
And she was about 14.2 if she was an inch. She was only a pony. And that's why I thought he was big, because he towered over her.
She was only a little filly, but a very good filly, you know.
She was. Tiniest little thing. You'd look at her and think, why are they taking this to the races? But by gee, she had a heart, didn't she?
Yeah, champion little filly, yeah.
Now, Neville, another filly you trained, and I'm just rattling through champions all the time, Dark Eclipse by Baguette. Gee whiz, 1980 Golden Slipper winner.
Yes, well, she was our sort of second string. We had a couple of very good fillies at the time. We had a filly for Mr. and Mrs. Tate called Fiance, who'd won a Silver Slipper. The Silver Slipper in those days was run before Christmas, over 900 at Rose Hill. And she'd won that, and she looked the logical choice in the Golden Slipper. And Ron elected to ride her out of loyalty to Mr. and Mrs. Tate. And Dark Eclipse was a sort of second stringer. And she'd won a Magic Knight the week before, and Kevin Moses was booked to ride. Kevin was my apprentice. And so Kevin Moses rode Dark Eclipse, and of course she came along and won.
It's interesting you say she was the second stringer. She won the Tea Rose, the Sweet Embrace, the Magic Knight, and the Golden Slipper. You'd love a second stringer like her every day, Neville.
She was a very, very good filly. But a funny thing, Fiance came good again in the spring and won the Flight Stakes. So she was a better filly in the spring than the autumn.
Now, as I said, November Rain was another great filly. She won the Three Oaks, VRC, AJC and QDC Oaks.
Yes, she's a filly that I was given to train from Muskoka Farm. I think she had raced a couple of times before I got her. We won a small race with her, I think it was 1900 at Canterbury, and then I took her to Melbourne, and she won the Wakeful Stakes, and then won the VRC Oaks. We brought her home, and she had a heat problem. She suffered from a heat badly, and Just before the AJC Oaks, it turned quite cool, and she brightened up very quickly, and she won the AJC Oaks. I ran in the AJC St. Ledger. She won the St. Ledger, and she beat just a dash. She went on a Melbourne Cup.
Goodness
me. Then I took the Queensland. She won the Queensland Oaks. She's very, very good staying to be, but because of a heat problem, she went what they call dry-coated. I retired.
You had a terrific, you had a lot of fillies, as you mentioned, but you had a terrific strike rate. You won 10 Oaks around Australia.
That's right. Well, we're fortunate enough, we had enough fillies in the stable to be spread them out. We took a few to Western Australia. We won the Western Australian Oaks a couple of times. I think we won the Queensland Oaks four times, the VRC Oaks a couple of times, and the AJC Oaks a couple of times.
That would have been pretty adventurous going to Western Australia back in those days, because there wouldn't have been as many travel that far, would there?
No, well, actually, it started off a little. Bart Cummings started
Diana and those horses.
Yeah, he took a lot of horses across there for their big carnival, and at those days you could quite comfortably fly over there. But then it came a little bit difficult to get flights and that later on, but. We flew over and with a horse, and they travelled very, very well. And we generally started them off down at Pinjarra Oaks. And every time we went there, we won the race at Pinjarra. So we were lucky enough to win over there with a couple of fillies.
Now, Neville, I'll get you to hold a sec for me. You mentioned about the heat. Well, it's so hot today, Cora has had to kick off at 10:15, and their second race they're loading pretty quickly. I'll go there to Cora, and I'll come straight back. I want to ask you about one of your best horses, I reckon, ever in a moment. Race 2, Corra, they're loading quickly. The favourite for Corazon d'Oro at $3.50 and on fixed $3.
Nothing's in the stalls, and Corazon d'Oro has the beige colours. El Gatino stood well with Diva Doc Framework, who is well supported in at $3.60 currently. Fixed odds is wheeling around in the maroon and white colours, drawn towards the outside of the field. He's going up there, and Connie's about to come up, and Liberty Boy's in the black and gold colours. He's coming forward, Liberty Boy, into the stalls. Liberty Boy coming up with now in Connie to join them. And Connie is coming up. Nick Sirkay, who won the first with Blazing Ash, rides Emo Clue for Rick Freer here. Now going up is Tearful Kitty. Tearful Kitty going up for Belinda Wright, who claims three. Emo Clue coming up for Nick Sirkay. And to bring Emo Clue into the stalls at the 1,200 metres at the board here. Corazon d'Oro 3:20, Framework into 3:30. So it's a good battle for favouritism here. They're almost set for race two at Corowa. It's over the 1,200. Oh, Emo Clue's climbing off the ground. Nick Sirkay still in the saddle. Looked pretty scary there for a moment. Thought he was going to come back on top of him, but he settles better now. The red light's on. Racing And they've come away in a fair line. Diva Doc seemed to get the best of it on the inside. Framework's flying across. Goes to the lead Framework from Diva Doc. Corazon d'Oro's been ridden up there as well. And there's good pace on. And Connie and Madame Palmer going forward as well with Diva Doc. Then Corazon d'Oro eases to be about six with Emo Clue going up inside it. And Tearful Kitty shoots forward. They're followed then by a Seedy Lady. Why Me, Lord Liberty Boys. Well back with El Gatino and Nothing at the rear. Down the side. Framework led from Madame Palmer, and then Diva Doc and Cotty fourth. Fifth, Zemo Clue, and sixth over on the outside, Corazon d'Oro, there followed by Tearful Kitty, who's a little bit wide on the track, followed by a Seedy Lady, Liberty, followed by Liberty Boy, then Why Me, Lord El Gatino, and Nothing are a long way back on the turn. Framework, the leader into the straight, led about two or three lengths now, and kicked away down the outside, Diva Doc, Madame Palmer, Corazon d'Oro is only battling through in the centre and running around Diva Doc here. But Framework, the leader. Framework is well out in front. Framework about two or three in front, and he's run them off their legs. Framework wins it brilliantly. Second, Liberty Boy out wide on the track, and Diva Doc third. Fourth, pretty close between Madame Palmer and Why Me, Lord, and flashing up Corazon d'Oro. Only got going in the last 100 metres, followed behind those runners. Then over the line was behind those Emo Clue, followed by a Seedy Lady and El Gatino. They were followed further back by Tearful Kitty and Nothing. And in Cotty, one of the last.
14.10 at 8 there. Number 14, Framework, 3.31.70. 10, Liberty Boy, 4.50. And third, number 8, Diva Doc, $3.80. I'm chin-wagging with Neville Begg this morning. Neville, I want to mention one of the toughest and best horses you had. And I just find it fascinating. Her sire stood at stud at the time for only $1,500. Her dam was purchased for $1,700 because she was unsound. And this one didn't race at 2, only from 3 on. I'm talking about Emancipation.
Sean, she was outstanding there, temperamental, very temperamental. But we had her in as a two-year-old. She'd been up. Les Young had found her out in the country and was able to lease her to Mr. Bob LaPointe and some of his friends. And they sent her to me as a two-year-old, and we did a little bit of work with her, and then she was a bit immature, and we put her away. But she had a first run on, I think, Bank Holiday Day in August as a three-year-old, and she won the first six or seven starts, but then turned out to be an outstanding mare.
I tell you what, a lot of people said she was tough. As a three-year-old, she had 13 runs, and she won 10 of them. She could cop it, couldn't she?
Yeah, no, she was tough. She like a gelding, you know, this big, tough thing. Yes. Kick you and bite you. My son Graham looked after her all his life, and he got on very well with her. And she won the rider twice. She won the rider twice, and a numerous other weight for age race. But one of the best wins is winning the Doncaster, the three-year-old filly. She carried 1.5 kilos over weight for age, and she won that comfortably. And she just. Probably, I'd have to say, the best horse I'd ever had in the stable.
Well, a four-year-old, she had 15 starts, won 9 of them, including 5 Group 1s. And as she said, I'd read where you had to be very careful because she would line you up and barrel you or bite.
Yes, no, she was quite aggressive. I think I'd use that word term. she'd kick the stable walls and bite you or kick you if you were not careful, but... As Graham looked after her, got on well with her, that's why she's so successful. I think she was well handled.
Neville, you mentioned a gentleman's name there, Les Young, selecting her. I believe he's been quite inspirational and instrumental in selecting a few good horses for you.
Les Young worked with Doncaster Budstock, and I think he was the advisor for Mr. LaPointe. And then, of course, they went on with Mr. Mayfield Smith, and they did extremely well with their horses. Extremely well.
Now, Les when Young, Graham decided...
Yeah. Sorry, Les Young's always been known as a great judge of horses and breeding, and I attribute a lot of their success to his expertise, you know.
Now, when Graham decided to give away training in Sydney, I believe you were a bit worried at the time and thought, gee whiz, what's he going to do? But going to Melbourne probably has been a terrific move.
I think it's been a good thing for him. I think he's well regarded in Melbourne, and he's been fortunate enough to get the facilities at the stables where he's at Mornington. Just trying to grasp what the name there, at Pinecrest.
Yep.
It's a lovely facility, and we were also fortunate enough for little Written By to come along, and he's sort of appears to be doing quite well.
Well, he's going a bit more than quite well. He's a very good galloper. Now, Yao Chin in his bloodlines, he only paid $3,000 to get Yao Chin.
Yes, he's a filly as a yearling. I bought her at the Scone Sales, actually. I just like the look of her, and I bought her, and she's quite a good little racehorse. She only won a one, but she's narrowly beaten three times on a Saturday in Sydney at the Metropolitan meetings, and she always showed some promise. Anyway, we decided to breed with her, and she's every foal she's had won, but he's Written By a PSB book, by far the best.
Now, Neville, people can say you're lucky, but you had a full brother Written By, a grey colt. What happened to him?
Don't talk to me about it, thank you. I went and saw him at the farm that he's at, and he looked fantastic. I was very pleased with him, delighted. We had some other horses at another farm about half an hour away. As I was getting out the car at the next farm, the phone rang. He's gone over the fence. He's got to be put down. So that was the end of that. So that was that's racing, I suppose. Those things happen, and you're lucky if they don't happen more often.
Yeah. Now, you went to Hong Kong for a while as well. That must have been a terrific experience.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to get an invite to go to Hong Kong. I went there with at the same time there was a great French trainer called Patrick Biancone. We went the same year, and I did reasonably well enough. I never had a big string of horses there. I think most you can have 60. I generally had around about 40, 45. But we won one of the international races in 6 years, so that wasn't too bad, I didn't think. You know.
I saw a lovely article, and you were asked to compare two jockeys, probably similar riding styles, Jack Thompson, Robert Thompson.
Yeah, well, Robert rode for me for a couple of seasons in Hong Kong, and we've always been good friends. We had a succession of very good riders. Darren Gouchy is one of my favourite jockeys. He rode for me for a couple of seasons there. Darren Biedman rode for me for a season, and Greg Charles.
Goodness. Darren Gouchy had one of the sweetest seats and hands, didn't he?
Beautiful rider. He suited me fine because he was very cooperative with me, and he always looked after my interests, and I couldn't have been.
Well, these days he's still
with a jockey, you know.
Are you still breeding these days, Neville?
I've still got the Yao Chin. Yao Chin's in Folder Zoo Star at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a couple of other mares. I've got a half sister Written By in Folder Manhattan Rain. So, you know, we keep an interest.
Now, I haven't mentioned your age, and I'll tell you what, you are unbelievable. Your memory and your recall is superb. People may have done some maths when I said that about 70 years ago you started off as a young teenager with Morris McCartan. Can I say how old you are?
Well, I'm 88 this week, Sean, so luckily I'm still moving.
Hey, you are dead set travelling on the bit at 88. You're just going half pace, Neville. You are flying.
Sure not. I think I've never driven a car in my life. I think it's the fact that I've done a lot of exercise in my life, and that keeps me going. You know, I've never driven, and I've walked mostly everywhere. When I had to go to stables and that sort of thing, and even in Hong Kong, I used to ride a push bike up there, you know, so...
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure having a chat with you this morning. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And I wanted to save that till the end. I thought people will fall out of their cars. They'll be walking when they find out you're 88 this week. Happy birthday, Neville. When's your birthday? What day?
Oh, it's on the 18th.
The 18th. Well, that's tomorrow.
That's right.
88 tomorrow. Absolutely. Well, I'm absolutely honoured that you've taken the time to have a chin wag this morning. It has been fantastic, Neville, and thank you very much.
Sean, thank you very much. I appreciate the chance to do it. Thank you.
Neville Begg, what a pleasure. And 88 tomorrow, it's his birthday. And by gee, the recall, unbelievable. That is fantastic.